As we begin, let me just say this. You know, it's important for us. They say that an extreme quote, really, in some ways, but they say that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Well, I don't think that that's an accurate definition, but I understand what it's trying to convey. If you want something to be, if you want the results to be different, then you've got to do something different. 2017, I'll be honest with you, I want my heart for 2017 is to say, Lord, I want you to have your way. This is your church, that we are your people. I want this year to be a year where you do something with us, do whatever you want to do with us. I want us to be soft in terms of like clay, you know. The Bible talks about the Lord being the potter, we're the clay. I want us to be like soft clay, able to be molded. You know, very often what happens with people is that people get ideas and they get fixated on their own ideas. And their own ideas, they appear so right to them. You know, we have our own thinking, our own processes. We're convinced that we're right on things. And then what happens is the enemy uses that conviction that we have to put a ceiling on our lives. And that ceiling that goes on our lives then restricts us, and it becomes like a prison. And we operate within this framework that we've set for ourselves. And I would like to say this morning, God has far more than we can think or imagine in store for us. And what he wants us to do is not to have those fixed, harsh boundaries. You know, it's so easy to be harsh. Harsh with other people, harsh with the pastors, harsh. And it's a trap from the enemy, because you think you're right, but what happens is the enemy's got you in his trap. Now you're being critical, you're being harsh, and you've restricted yourself. And your life is going to be impacted in a very negative way. And I sense this 2017, I'm saying, Lord, let each one of us in this church be like soft clay, not harsh, not having our own thoughts, not leaning on our own understanding, but leaning on him and being yielded to him and saying, Lord, I just want to submit my life to you. I don't want to be in charge of my life. I want you to be in charge of my life. I don't want to be a know-it-all. I want to be someone who's just submitted to you and resigned to you and in need of your fellowship every day, every moment of every day. I want to be someone who's so aware of their need to be in prayer, constant prayer, so aware of their need to be in the Word. I want to be a person that's just aware of my need to be devoted to God. Amen? And I want that for each one of us. Because let me tell you this. I believe that there's great opportunities for us. And the trap would be for us to limit ourselves in our old thinking. And a new year, you know, it's an interesting time because it does, the cliche of a new year is, you know, it's a new fresh start and things. I don't really go along with that. But you know what? I'll take it for the sake of this example. Let's use this day as the beginning of the rest of our lives. And let's look at ourselves and say, Lord, what do you want then from my life? What's, you know, have your way with me. You know, the best that we can achieve in life is to be in service for him. That's the best. If we just resign and say, okay, you know what? Go for it. Mold me. Do something with me then, God. Well, you know what? When the master's hands have an opportunity to form the clay, oh, he can do something that's just beautiful with it. But if we remain hard and stiff, and well, I just think it should be just, No. We need to surrender and yield. When we surrender our lives, surrender our understanding, just yield to Him. Don't be harsh. Be loving with one another, kind to one another, tender, not judgmental, kind, building one another up. You know what happens? That softness, that attitude of our hearts allows us to be molded by the great master, potter. And then we become vessels under His shaping. Vessels of honor, fit for His purpose. And His purpose is beautiful. Let me just share from... let's turn first of all then, just as we're considering this, to Acts 15. Let's go to Acts 15. One of my favorite chapters in the New Testament is Acts 16. You know Acts 16, the Macedonian call, Paul and Silas, and that great victory where the prison walls fall down, their chains pop off, and the jailer asks, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" But you know, the book of Acts in the New Testament is a historical book. The letters in the New Testament are where we get our doctrine from. The book of Acts is a historical book. It's all scripture can be used by us for all manner of purposes, building us up, teaching, correction, etc. But this is a historical account that we have here in the book of Acts. And so it's very interesting. It says this in verse... Well, just let me set the context. The context is that the church is flourishing, okay? The church is growing. The church is doing... They're seeing new churches pop up over here and over here. There's missionary journeys. There's miracles taking place. I mean, this is a boom time for the early church, okay? The church is really moving forward. It's having a tremendous impact. And now we get to chapter 15 of the book of Acts. And it says this, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question." Here's a first church council taking place right here in the book of Acts. "So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them." I like that. What God had done with them. "But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed," notice they did believe, "rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and the elders came together to consider this matter." What happens is when God is moving, with the people, the spirit, if I can use that word, of the Pharisee, rises up in some. Legalistic, nitpicking, always wanted to criticize. It's a Pharisaic position, dangerous to the church. And there's a question that we may ask at the beginning of this year. We may want to ask the question, how do we grow our church? But really, I think a better question for us to ask as we analyze where we are is how to stop, or how do we stop our church from growing? How does a church stop itself from growing? Because I'll tell you, God is with us. The gospel is here. People love Jesus. God is with us. God is helping us. The Holy Spirit is leading us. So the question isn't so much how do we grow the church. The question is, how does this church not grow? And let me tell you this. A Pharisaical spirit is one of the ways that stops a church growing. It stops a church from flourishing. It's a critical thing. It comes into the body and tries to cause dissension. And what it doesn't do is it won't mold. It wants to keep everything as it was, so to speak. And we have to watch that. So that, for example, let's say new people come in to the church, they're just new converts, or they come in, they're not converts, they come in, they meet the Lord Jesus, and now what are we going to do? Are we going to say, oh, well, hold on a sec, you don't have the coffee from there, now we have the coffee from over, this is how we do it. You're not going to sit here, are you? No, you can't. You're not going to go and do that. This is how we... And little things will come in. And it's like a Pharisaical thing. And it's a testimony to someone who's not soft. It's a testimony to someone who's harsh, who's critical, who's got edges. And someone who's not really in fellowship with God. Because when you're having fellowship with God, what happens is you're soft to people. You can't spend time with God and be harsh to people. It doesn't happen. What happens is you spend time with God, and he makes you aware of how much he's forgiven you, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, how much he has in store for you, and it just softens you. You say, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love for me. And you just want to be like that to others then. Because you see, when you spend time with him, you become like him. What you spend your time with, you'll be influenced by. If you spend 3 years in the army, the soldiers will have an influence on you, and it'll influence every aspect of the way you think and the way you talk, and it's going to influence you. But if you spend time with God, spend time with the Christians, what's going to happen is it's going to influence you, it's going to shape you, and it's going to give a world of possibilities for us as we look to the future. See, I'm thinking that all things are possible for us. I know that we've got the extension, which we've spoken about, and we're going through the plans, and the plans were passed, and we're looking at grants and an extension there. But you know what? I'm not ruling out another building either. I don't see why we can't have both. I'm not ruling out the possibility of a building down there in Warrington. We need one. With the services that take place there, the meetings that are happening there. What I'm saying is, look, I'm saying let's just be yielded to God, and let's make sure that we're not doing those things that will stop the church from growing. Let's not get in the way of what God's doing. That's what I'm saying. If we just step out of the way and be yielded to him, you know what? He's going to have his way. And the Bible says he's going to build his church. He's about building his church. That's what he wants to do. And it's no secret, is it? You know, there's all sorts of books and things written of what will make the church grow. But really the question, as I've said, is what's stopping the church from growing? People's attitude can have a great impact. you know, I've said it many times before, our attitude determines altitude. And this year, let's ensure that our attitude isn't the thing that's holding us back. Attitude is so important. Before God, attitude is so important. Before one another, attitude is so important, isn't it? You know someone's attitude. Isn't human, being human is very interesting, you know. You know, you can walk into a room, right? And you walk into a room and you know something's going on there. You know there's an atmosphere. Now, can anyone here describe, could you write a formula for that down? I don't think you could you? We can't quantify what's going on there. I've thought about it. I can't quantify that, but you just know, hey, something's going on here. There's an atmosphere in this room. But you look at people's faces. The faces just look the same. You know, you haven't heard anything. You just sense an atmosphere. What's that? How can you, you know, what part of the human being is able to do that? Well, you know what? In church, that happens a lot. And in church, what happens is we can sense where people are. We don't necessarily quantify it, but you can sense it. And I mean, it's just real, you know. And I think what we should do probably is to use that as a leading to for our prayers, and a leading that we can go by and you know seek to help people possibly. But if you're the one who's causing that, let me say this to you. Okay. You may not have said anything. You may not have. You know, we can't pinpoint things, but let me tell you, your attitude is permeating and it's making a difference. That makes sense. An attitude permeates, it makes a difference. Please, this is a fellowship of Christians. Let's make sure our attitude towards one another, the things of our heart, it isn't a bad one. Let's not be the ones. Please make sure that you're not the one creating, can I put it like this, a stink in the church. Let's make sure that the attitude of our hearts is for one another. The attitude of our hearts is to build one another up. And the attitude of our hearts is for the Lord and for us to be used by Him. It's an exciting thing to think, God can use me. God can work through me. God can do something through my life. You know, we look at church very often, and we look to the front, don't we? We say, right, okay, well, you know, we're going to take leadership from the front, and I believe in church leadership. I believe what the Bible says about the church. I believe about the structure of the church, the leadership of the church. I believe that. But there is a call, as our sister was saying earlier, on every one of us. Every one of us in the body, and the New Testament is explicit on this, we all have a role to play. And whatever that role is, let me say to you, please spend time with God and perhaps spend time one with another and say, look, I'm going to have an attitude that's yielding to whatever it is God wants me to do in my life. Whatever that might be, God has a plan for us, and I'm not going to be passive. I'm going to have an active role. I'm going to be engaged in the church. I mean, if someone was to come to me, for example, I've been thinking about this week, and someone was to say, you know, I would like to have a meeting on Wednesdays, because I know some ladies who go to this coffee shop, the Starbucks shop, on a Wednesday morning, or not Wednesday, because we have the thing here, when, let's say Thursday morning. We have the coffee mirror here. Let's say Friday mornings. Friday mornings, and there's these ladies, and I've been meeting with them for a while, and I'm telling them about, and now I'd like to set up a little like a cell thing for those people that we're meeting together. And then I could really, you know, structure something like a sort of cell church in that coffee shop. I'd be delighted with that. Or someone perhaps, you know, I don't know, meeting people in college or something and saying, you know, look, there's some people in the college there who are meeting together. We really would like to just be delighted with that. See, the thing with the Lord is he's about growing his church. And he's about growing our attitude so that we're yielded. But he's also about growing so that we influence and we meet people and we speak with people and we, you know, we're having an impact. The Christian gospel is so awesome. Listen, friends, listen, please. Listen, never take the gospel for granted. Let's not take this great gospel for granted. We can be so used, so familiar to the gospel, so we've heard it before. We can become so familiar with it that it loses its awesome power. But this is the most powerful, awesome thing on planet Earth. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, this thing transforms nations. This thing takes hold of a nation and transforms it. This thing is power. And God is saying to us, listen, you, sister, you, brother, you are part of this body. You got a role to play in this body. Never allow yourself to be a spare part. You're not a spare part. You're not a spare part. No, you have a role to play. If you're really a Christian, you've got a role to play in the body of Jesus Christ. And my challenge to you this morning is this. It's not for me to tell you what that is. That's not my responsibility. Don't think that it is. It's not. I may help in that. I may help. I may have a role to play in that. But it's your responsibility to say, you know what? I've spent time with the Lord in prayer. And through that relationship, God has been directing me that I should whatever it is. And that ought to happen to every one of us. And my challenge is this morning then, make sure that's happening to you. Make sure that as you're studying the word, as you're spending time with God, things are being said to you. He's speaking to you. And as you're speaking to him, he's speaking to you, and he's directing you to have a certain function in the body. And when he's doing that, please come and tell me. And then we're going to sit down, God willing, we'll sit down, we have a cup of coffee, and we'll talk, and we'll pray, and we'll see what the Lord's will is. You see? But I had a picture this morning as I was thinking about this. Have you ever seen an old tennis ball, and they've got a rip in it? Just a really worn-out tennis ball. And for some reason, as a boy, I would like to, if I saw a little nick in it, I'd like to rip it open, and then I'd have two halves. And I don't know why. And then you rip the tennis ball open, and you have two halves. Now you've got the inside of that ball, which has never seen the outside. And then just what I used to do is I used to push the inside out. I used to reverse it. So instead of them all facing each other on the inside, you push it out and everything that was on the inside is facing outside. That's the picture I had this morning of the church. That's the picture I had of us as a church. That almost God wants to push us from the inside out. So instead of being, you know, on the inside facing each other all the time, looking at each other, nice as the view is, it's a nice view, but instead of that view, turning it, pushing it out so that we're looking out there and that, you know, we may have an idea. Someone may have an idea. Well, look, I want to do this. So I want to reach people in this area. Whatever it might be. I don't know what that is. That's your responsibility. See, every one of us has a responsibility before God. I mean, it's before God. It's not before the church even. It's before God. And then God would facilitate that in the church, in and through the church. That's how it's meant to work. So there's no such thing as a spare part in the body. Each one has a role to play, or as the scripture says, has will be load-bearing, as the scripture puts it. Each one is a load-bearing wall, so to speak, in this church. You see, those Pharisees were whiny, grumpy religious people. The Pharisees were the most religious and most sort of churchy type people out of everyone. And they demonstrated the greatest lack of maturity among everyone. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. You may have been in the church, you may have experiences, but you could be a Pharisee, and in that Pharisaical spirit, you demonstrate your lack of maturity to the body. But that's in the past. If that applies, listen, it's in the past. Look, let's look to the future. God's interested in the future. God's interested in what's going to happen. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget those things which are behind. Now, pressing on now to the future. And saying, Lord, use me. I want my life to be spent for the sake of this gospel. So many things will try and get us to spend our lives on other things, try and grab our attention, but there's nothing like spending our lives on the gospel, folks. Listen, in 50 years from now, I promise you this, what will happen for most of us, the question will be, how did I spend my life? Did I spend my life pursuing the things that pleased me? Did I spend my life pursuing the things that God was calling me into? The things that please us, the ambitions of the flesh, and all of that, listen, it won't satisfy. Even if you achieve it, it doesn't satisfy. But what satisfies is saying, I spend my life, I'm yielding my life to Him, and I'm allowing Him to mold me, and wherever that takes me, glory to God, I'm happy. And you'll be satisfied. Great satisfaction. The world promises it, God delivers it. So let's not be duped. And just as we come towards the end of what I wanted to share really this morning, in this simple sharing, is that in Acts 15, as we read, it records, you know, in verse 3 there, that all of the brethren had great joy over what God was doing with them and through them. All of them had great joy. But then just 3 verses later, those same brethren had to stop and deal with the complaint that was going on by the Pharisaical ones. And why do people do this? Well, when things start to go well, the church comes under attack. And some people will call what's happening into question. Romans 12:2 is a familiar scripture to us. I'll read it out to you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've read it many times. We've considered it and other scriptures that are like it many times. But you know that word there that talks about conformed, and do not be conformed to this world. In the Greek, that word means don't be identified with. Don't be having the same outward shape as the world. Don't be the same as it. Don't assume a similar outward form by following the same pattern of life as the world. It's talking about a different pattern. It says, don't be conformed to the pattern of the world. Don't be conformed to the pattern of life that the world is offering us. And it's a strong offering that it gives us, because it comes through all manner of things, the television, it comes through the media, it comes through friends. Doesn't it come through friends? Doesn't it come through family members? And it comes through all avenues. And then this verse is interesting because it contrasts that being conformed to the world to being transformed. And in the Greek, the word is metamorphosize. To be metamorphosized, to be transformed. They use the word in the transfiguration. It says this in the dictionary, in Strong's dictionary. It says, but be transformed. It says, properly transformed after being with. After being with. In other words, because I'd spent time with God and I allowed God to have influence over me, I'm transformed now. Because I'd spent time with him, I've been transformed. You know, I quite like eating garlic. I like Italian food. I quite like eating garlic. But I don't like the smell of garlic on bread. I just don't like garlic bread. I don't know why. And if you leave garlic and it's been cut and it's in the fridge, that thing is permeating out and it's affecting everything. Oh, it's just horrible. And the smell, it just turns my stomach. It permeates everything. Well, you know, the word there, metamorphosized, what it's conveying is, having spent time with, you now have the smell of. See, this isn't an intellectual thing that we're talking about here. This is a relationship thing. This is fellowship. We talked about fellowship last week. Fellowship isn't hanging around together. We learned that last week. Biblical fellowship, the word fellowship in the Greek, what it means is being with people. And anyone going to help me out? Or shall I just say it again? I'll just say it again. Being with people with action that involves God's plans and purposes. That's what fellowship means in the Bible. And now, having spent time with God, the aroma of God is on our lives. So that when we walk through this life, we're now thinking differently because we spent time with him. It's what I said at the beginning of this sharing with you this morning. When you spend time with God, you're not going to be the same afterwards. You're going to be changed. And the aroma of God will be on you, and it's going to affect other people. So listen, friends, this morning, let's just stand as we close. And let me ask you this. Look, we know that God has plans for us. We know that he's with us. We know that God is with us. God has plans for us. We know that God has directions that he's giving, that he wants to give us for our lives. Let me just invite everyone. Look, don't be a spare part in the body. This is your responsibility, folks. You're not going to get a letter from the church saying, usually anyway, maybe it would happen one time, but usually you're not going to get a letter from the church saying, God has told us that you're going to be doing this in this area and et cetera, et cetera. That's not how it works. How it works is someone spends time with God and they spend time with God and then God's will permeates into that person. God's will permeates into their being and they have a desire for evangelism. There's a desire for evangelism there with that man. Because he spent time with God and God has called him for evangelism. And that man over there then, he has there's a pastoral thing going on. There's something there for the things of God that God has said, look, Would you look after those sheep? Could you? And he's saying, yes, I'm going to respond to that. Now, the responsibility of the church is this. When we hear how God is impacting people's lives, we then facilitate that call of God. And we help them. And I promise you this. You will find that we will back you. We will support you. We will be very helpful. We've made that commitment. We will be very helpful when someone is responding to God's call for their lives. I promise you this. I promise you, you'll find that I will back you and I'll spend time with you and I'll help you to the best of my ability as God gives me grace. And he does, because it's his word. It's his kingdom. And we enter into that partnership together. Listen, friends. If God is speaking to you, or if you want God to speak to you, you know that this is right. And you know that perhaps you haven't been spending the time with him. You want the fragrance of God on your lives. And you're going to make a commitment this morning as we close this service. Make that commitment to him. And say, I'm committing to find out what my role in this body is, Lord. I'm going to make that commitment. I want to find out what my role in this body is, and I want to make sure that I don't miss out on what you shaped me for. I don't want to miss out on what you've called me for in my life. And so, as we all of us close our eyes, no one looking around, this is a response to God. Eyes closed. If God's speaking to you today and you know that you're going to need to spend time with him this week, you want to spend as much time and maybe small bites throughout the day, small bites of the word, small couple of minutes, you know, prayer, whatever it might be, meals throughout the day, spiritual meals, or really seeking him with time to find out what your role in this body is, what your part of the body is. If that's for you, you want to respond to that, let me ask you to put your hand up now. Please put your hand up. Respond to God now. I see those hands lifted. No one looking around, just people responding to God. And maybe others have said, look, I know what I'm meant to do. I know that I've got a role to play. I know that God has called me. I need to respond to that. I want to respond to that, and I want to be part. If that's you, you lift your hand up and respond to him now. See those hands. Thank you, Father God. Help us, Lord. Help us, help us. We worship you, Lord. We need you for everything. Father God, we worship you. Praise God. Listen, a third group that I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you know that your attitude has been wrong, you've been like a Pharisee. You've had a pharisaical thing going on. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up. But I am going to ask you to respond in your heart before God. And say, I don't want to be like this, Lord, any longer. I'm sorry, I've had a bad attitude, I've had a wrong attitude, and I want to change. I want to be more like Jesus. And I don't want to create anything apart from love and fellowship, and I just want to serve Jesus in my life. And I'm sorry for anything that I've done wrong. I repent of it now, Lord, and I want to follow you from this moment on. If that's you, you just say sorry to God in your heart now. You talk to God now. Go on, talk to him now, if that's you. Father God, we come and then we worship you, Lord. We praise you. My dear brothers and sisters in this place, we worship you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you. We praise you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your beautiful life that you've given us, the abundant life. And Father God, I pray for everyone that's in this place this morning that no one, not one of us, not one would miss out on the abundant life of Jesus. But that each one within this place would know and experience the abundant life of Jesus Christ. That each one of us would live that life. under your guidance, under your will, under your leading. And the fragrance of our lives will impact people. And like that tennis ball which is turned inside out, we'll start to look more for opportunities of how we can impact and affect others with the gospel that we hold inside of us. We're looking for family members, friends, whoever it is, Lord, that you lead us to. We're asking that we would be sensitive enough for the Holy Spirit to say, go and speak to that person over there that we've never even met before. And we go and share the gospel with them. And it'd be the right word at the right time for the right person. And they'd come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Oh, Lord, we give you praise. The greatest thing in this world is knowing Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you that most of us in this place have done that. Lord, we want to yield to that truth and that reality forevermore. We give you all the praise, all the honor. Hallelujah.